Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Calum Forgelon.
I'm DM.
And tonight, upcoming horror movies, The Show!
Yeah!
Yeah, we've taken our normal thing of discussing upcoming horror movies, and are going to actually talk about horror movies that aren't out yet.
That's
They're
right.
coming out next week, so it's not a big deal, or the week
okay,
after.
Okay, like one of them is like in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they're both coming out very soon.
Watch for them, I guess is what we're trying to say.
Well, watch for one of them.
Harsh.
Shots fired.
Damn.
We'll get there. First, I believe we have some random crap to address.
We do. You want to talk about a documentary you watched that isn't a total bummer.
Oh, no, no. It's great. I just want to recommend everyone go and check this out. I believe it was Renegade Cut who did a giant on YouTube, like 45-minute documentary about the movie Ravenous. Just like digging into the
period one about
the Robert Carlyle and who's the other guy, you know, from Lockout.
I know who you're talking about.
It's embarrassing me that I can't remember his name. But the point
Guy
is,
Pierce.
Yeah, thank you, Guy Pierce.
I was about to say Guy Ritchie.
A natural mistake to make. But anyway, he's of course, it's a fantastic movie. But
it's weird that you went to Lockout for Guy Pierce.
That's strange, right? I could have said L.A. Confidential. I could have said Memento.
I wouldn't have got there, though. I would not have got there with L.A. Confidential.
You would have if I'd said Memento.
Maybe.
So I guess it's good that I said Lockout.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know why I'm giving you shit for it.
Especially since I picked it to aim it at you. And I'm like, what's her favorite That Guy movie? Probably Lockout.
Well, he's so buff in that film.
It's insane the shape he got into for that movie. But anyway, just a wonderful, wonderful, like, delving into the themes, what it's about, how, like, troubled the production was. Apparently, the director was fired after 2 weeks.
Really?
And the studio was like, we'd like to replace, we'd like to replace him with the director of Home Alone 3, who would go on to make the Scooby-Doo live-action movies. And the entire crew and cast said, we will not show up to work if you hire that guy.
Wow.
And so Robert Carlyle phoned his good friend Antonia Bird, who had directed him in Priest a couple of years earlier. It's like, do you want to make this splatter comedy about cannibalism? And she's like, yep, what the hell? And that's how that happened. It's like, literally, it was completely unmoored until the last second. But yeah, just a beautiful documentary, looks at all of the themes, the, you know, how it is maybe the best movie about Westward expansion and Manifest Destiny, and just a magnificent film from beginning to end. And watching this documentary made me, you know, like, recover my love of that movie that I don't watch as often as I should. So
it's a great movie, and I think it's underviewed, yeah. Underappreciated, unsung, like, not yeah. enough eyes have seen this film.
So everybody, even if you don't watch the documentary, I guess I'm recommending we all rewatch Ravenous.
Ravenous.
Because yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
Everybody's so good in that. But yeah, just a wonderful, wonderful movie. Ravenous is incredible. All right. Let's move on to yours. I believe you watched a movie?
I did. You? I was just, like, scrolling through Netflix.
Okay.
And I found this thing called Barely Lethal.
Okay.
It's Samuel L. Jackson.
Who makes a lot of movies.
Makes a lot of movies. And then, you know, other people. So, essentially, he runs this school that raises and trains girl assassins. And then this one girl assassin, she has this opportunity to escape.
Okay.
And then just be like a regular teenaged girl.
Oh, okay.
And so it's her experiences navigating high
regular
school.
Regular teenage. Okay, that sounds wonderful.
And it like, it is and it isn't. Like, it's a fun movie and it's cute. And really, like, obviously sort of wears its influences on its sleeve.
Right.
To the point where I think it kind of gets in the way sometimes.
Oh, that always sucks.
And is a little unbalanced when, like, her sort of, the life she left behind catches up with her.
Right.
But I know, still a fun movie.
Okay. Barely Lethal.
Barely Lethal.
Which
yes.
is one a hell of a hilarious pun name.
Right?
Like, that's a really good pun name. Like, I'm sure whoever in the marketing department of that distributor came up with that, you know, title, like, you know, dined out on that one for weeks. I was like, yep, I'm the guy who came up with Barely Lethal.
You're welcome, everyone.
I just sold this movie without anyone ever having to see a frame of it. Because I came up with the title Barely Lethal.
Turns out it was a typo, but whatever. Got the job done.
Well, that's how Tomorrow Never Dies happened.
That was a typo?
Yes, Tomorrow Never Lies.
Come on,
someone actually accidentally wrote dies in one of the memos, and there's like, actually, I like that title better.
It is better. Tomorrow Never Lies is dumb.
Well, no, because it's about the newspaper.
No, I get that, but still.
Like, it's clever. It's not that clever, but it is clever. All right. But anyway, Barely Lethal, our huge recommendation for the week.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
No, of course not. I'm exaggerating. But yes, check out Barely Lethal. Let's move on to...
a list?
I love lists.
The question? A list? Okay. So this week's list comes to us from Men's Health.
Okay.
Which I think we've gone to them before.
We totally have 100% dealt with lists for Men's Health. I can guarantee that to be true.
So this list is actually dated May 15th, 2020. Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that was so real. Like, this list
week.
Is actually like, yeah, okay,
the most
anyway.
Current list we've ever had.
Pretty
well, no,
much.
We've done a couple of lists that were like that year's movies you should watch this Halloween, but we don't do it that often.
Yeah. No, it's unusual for us to be like this.
A really current list. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
so
what is it?
It is the 11 most anticipated horror movies of 2020.
Ooh. Obviously Saw Spiral is number one.
Well, let's
wait. I cannot
wait
for Spiral. But anyway, please continue.
Okay. So this is just the list. It's not enumerated. It doesn't appear to be in. Oh, I think it's in release order.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. That does make sense. All right. So we begin with The Grudge.
Didn't know
there was a new one.
They made a new one. It can't be anticipated because it came out back in February.
Right? How
and
did that
nobody
work?
Went to see it.
First of
That's
all, it
not
was
what
January
anticipated
3rd.
Me.
It wasn't February.
It was January. I was wrong even about that.
The
wow.
Beginning of January.
Like, the first movie that came out this year was a remake of or a new Grudge movie that nobody liked or went to see.
Yeah.
Your list isn't off to a great start here, guy.
I don't understand how this works. Can't be anticipated if it's already happened.
Yep.
Okay, after that we have...
like, we get into some kind of Doctor Who nonsense where people are anticipating the past.
Hey now. Take it easy on Doctor Who.
All right, go.
Okay, The Turning.
The Turning? Oh, that's the remake of Turn of the Screw, right?
Yes, also from January.
I didn't even remember that came out.
I didn't know this was a thing.
I knew it was a thing. I didn't know it'd come out yet.
Okay. Well, anyway. Moving right along, we have Gretel and Hansel.
Oh, yeah. That got some good press. And we'll probably see it at some point.
I guess so. I don't know.
It's something we might... if we can find a theme to go with it, that's something we might watch later.
Oh,
but honestly, the best
one of the
ever,
other million Hansel and Gretel movies.
I was
going to
say, there's only one Hansel and Gretel movie we need. And that's Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
I thought they were demon hunters. Are they witch hunters?
No, they're witch hunters.
They're witch hunters. Okay.
Yeah. And he has diabetes because of the
sugar. Because
he ate a whole sugared house when he was a kid.
Do not remember anything.
He has to take like gear punk insulin shots all the time because he's got diabetes from all the candy he ate as a child.
Oh.
It's such a stupid movie. I love it
so
much.
Sad.
It really is.
Real cautionary tale for today's youth.
All right, next up.
Next up is The Lodge.
I've seen this reference, but I haven't heard anything about it.
Movie follows a woman and her stepchildren as they get trapped in a blizzard in a remote lodge.
Oh, okay. That seems fine.
I guess.
As long as they don't all turn at each other and, like, everyone gets mad about stuff they've done in the past and it becomes one of those psychodramas. Like, as long as there's actually a Boogans living in the basement, I'm fine with this.
But... well, it doesn't say.
Okay.
So I don't know.
All right. Next up.
Okay. Oi. Again, this is coming already on. Out. Fantasy Island.
And by the way, no one was anticipating Fantasy Island.
No, they were not.
I don't care what a super fan of that lady from Katie Keene you are. Nobody was looking forward to Fantasy Island.
Right, or how much you loved the TV show in the 70s. Why would you want to watch this movie?
There was a new one back in 1998 with Malcolm McDowell, but you're absolutely right. No one should watch this movie. Also, both of those were romantic fantasies, and this is a slasher movie.
Right.
So you're just using the brand name for no reason I can understand. Mm. All right, go.
Okay, up next is Antebellum.
Oh, why is that name familiar?
I thought this was in the Conjuring universe, but I don't know if it is.
Oh. It's about Civil War ghosts, I assume, based on the title?
The film focuses on the story of successful author Veronica, who finds herself trapped in a horrifying time-bending reality.
Right! Yes! Now I remember which movie this is. Okay.
I didn't even know
this had come out already.
No, it hasn't.
Oh, okay.
It was supposed to be April 24th, now pushed back to August 21st, so okay. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah. I'm excited for that one. It looked really interesting from the trailers. I just forgot that was the title.
I think I just need to rewatch the trailer. I must have watched it like way back when.
Oh yeah, it looks very creepy. All right.
Okay. Oh, I don't care about this one. A Quiet Place Part 2.
Couldn't care less. Next.
Right. Okay, moving right along. We have The Conjuring: The Devil Made Me Do It, aka The Conjuring 3.
Wow. Okay.
So, I have never seen a Conjuring movie. I haven't seen any movies in the Conjuring universe.
I saw Annabelle.
But this is interesting.
Go.
The movie will follow the first known court case in the USA where a defendant claimed innocence on the basis of being demonically possessed.
That sounds amazing. And I'm guessing their take is that was a real thing.
I'm sure people have used that defense.
Oh, no. I'm saying that, like, within the world of the movie, the person really was demonically possessed.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, it would be weird if a Conjuring movie, at the end it turns out there were no ghosts, and it was really just like a guy murdering teenagers to stop them from coming onto his lawn or something. Mm-hmm. No, it's probably going to be demons that are the guilty parties this time. Just, you know, I've seen a couple of Conjuring movies. Not many. I always think I've seen more, but then it turns out I'm just thinking about Insidious movies.
Oh.
Because it's the same creators working with the same star.
I see
how
you would get confused.
Yeah, I get a little confused sometimes. It happens.
Fair enough.
Next up.
Next is Candyman. I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, I mean, can it possibly be as good as Candyman or especially Candyman 2?
Okay, I need to rewatch Candyman 2 because I clearly do not remember this film being
as
good as everybody says it is.
It's so good. Like, Candyman's great. Candyman 2 is even better.
So, like, I love Candyman. It's an amazing movie. And I read this phenomenal paper about Candyman, which just made me like it even more. And I've seen the trailer for the new Candyman. I'm like, I don't know if this is the same film, the same story being told.
Yeah, because it's very much a story about anthropological studies of modern myths.
Which is fine, because that's kind of how Candyman begins, like the original.
Yeah.
You know, and I love folklore, and I love the study of folklore. It's separate from anthropology. That's a different thing.
Okay.
Yeah, just so you know.
No, it's fine. You're the academic. You're here to correct me on this stuff.
And it says here, the new Candyman will return to the now gentrified Chicago neighborhood where the legend began.
Well, it didn't really begin just in that. But anyway, that's a much longer conversation.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess I'll try to reserve judgment, but it might be too late. I might have already passed judgment.
Oh.
I should send you that paper. It is so good.
Well, I mean, if ever there was a movie that deserves that kind of academic deep dive, it's Candyman.
Yeah.
And not just because it's a movie about academia.
Brilliant.
But yeah, no, it really deserves that kind of look into it. But yeah, you should watch Candyman 2, Farewell to the Flesh.
I have seen it. I should watch it again.
I'm saying you should rewatch it. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Was that the last one?
No, we got one more. This isn't a horror movie. It's a horror series. And it's The Haunting of Bly House,
I've not heard
which
about
is
this.
season two
Oh.
or series two of The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, cool.
Yes, which I never finished.
Yeah, it kind of runs out of steam halfway
Well,
through.
that's not even it. I just watched most of it and I was really into it. And then just for whatever reason, I just never
Whereas for
finished.
me, I actually thought it ran out of steam halfway through. But I am excited they're doing a second season. The first season had a ton of really cool ideas. I just wasn't that connecting to it. And
Well,
you,
I
for
don't know
whatever
how
reason, just never went
connected
back and finished it.
you'll be with season two because it's based on Turn of the Screw. How do you
No!
drag that out?
No, you can't! How are you trying to get 8 episodes out of Turn of the Screw?
Like, Turn of the Screw is a great
It's so
story.
creepy!
And I've seen like the old timey movie, and then
Yeah.
I think The Others is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That movie really got to me.
It's creepy.
But I don't, maybe
You
I
need
just
it
lack
again.
the imagination to see how this could work over like, six or eight or 10 episodes.
I mean, they're doing a 12-hour version of Parasite for TV, so anything's possible, but it's gonna be weird.
So anyway,
I
that's the
worry that I felt the first season was kind of padded, and it wasn't even based on Turn of the Screw, which is a
right.
very small and intimate story with few characters.
Well,
So yeah.
the haunting, like the Shirley Jackson story, there
Is,
isn't.
you're right. Yeah, there isn't a lot there to pad out. So they did this
Yeah.
huge, but they do in the show, they do this massively in-depth look at the history of all of these families and the house and everything. So there's plenty of room to spread it out. Although, like I said, I did find it a little padded, and I just don't know if there's a way to do that in Turn of the Screw. Although I guess we'll find out in November. How
I
is
was
Spiral not on this
mistaken.
list?
Well, there's actually one left. I
Oh, okay.
miscounted. That was my fault.
Oh, okay.
We have one more film on our
Spiral.
anticipated horror movies of 2020 list, and it is Halloween Kills.
Whoa! Am I the only person excited about Chris Rock frigging writing and starring in a new Saw movie?
No, you are not.
I feel like I'm going crazy.
No, they're all, okay. So I did preview another list, upcoming horror
Okay.
movie list, and Spiral was on there.
On that one, okay. I don't like. Fine, great, but like, how is. Who cares about a new Halloween movie? The last
Oh,
one was
men's
so
health
bleh.
care.
Okay, I guess Men's Health. Yeah, the last one was so meh.
Haven't seen
And.
it.
Oh, you see, she has still hasn't even seen it.
Yep.
It's on Crave now, so you can watch it whenever you want. But yeah, it's crazy. It's such a meh movie, and they've done a sequel, even though he burns to death at the end of the movie. Spoiler
Thanks
alert,
for
he burns to
ruining
death at the end
it
of the movie. I know he's already done that before, but you know. This isn't the first time he's burned to the death at the end of a Halloween movie.
So is Michael Myers supposed to still be alive, or is he more like a Jason at this point, where he's just some sort of like undead thing?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much you know about Halloween, but they said nothing after Halloween 2 happened, and he's just a regular guy.
Oh,
Oh,
okay.
also, he's not Laurie Strode's brother. So
Wait,
there's
where is all,
no.
wait, wait,
Sorry, sister.
wait,
Yes, he's not Laurie Strode's brother.
wait.
What?
Since when?
The new movie.
Oh, so, no, okay, I'm just like talking in general.
Oh, in general. Okay. Well, there's no general anymore because they threw away the continuity. Like.
The new movie, just in general. Is
Okay.
Michael Myers believed to be a living, breathing human
Yes. He
male?
is not a zombie.
He's not. Okay.
He is not a zombie. I
Gotcha.
thought we were just talking about the new movie. So.
No, clearly not.
It's hard. Oh, yeah. That was so obvious. You're
It
right.
was obvious. Fool
When
the
is Spiral coming
audience.
out? Do you know?
No.
Because it was supposed to come out in April, and, well, that ship has sailed.
I
But
don't
yeah,
know.
okay.
I think next year, like 2021,
Oh,
which
damn it.
is
I was
such
hoping they
garbage.
would. Yeah, I was hoping they would on demand it because I'm very excited.
Right?
To see the Chris Rock
But don't
written.
on demand it and charge $24 like an asshole.
Yeah,
Blood
no,
shot.
15, 18 bucks. You know, there's a limit to how much we're willing to
Charge a
pay for
regular
jet
ticket
bloodshot.
price to go to the movies.
Yeah, but their argument is like, you don't have to pay for popcorn and you're gonna have more than one person watching the movie at the same time.
No, that's a terrible argument. First of all, popcorn is not included in your ticket price. That's bonus. And if you set it at a regular ticket price, the int more people are likely to buy it
Oh,
because
no,
not everybody
absolutely.
goes to the movies to begin with. So you
I
actually have
know.
a wider, larger captive audience.
I agree with you, but I do see their reason to raise the
I
price a
don't know.
little.
Their reason
I
is
don't think it should be
garbage.
25 bucks,
It is
but I
greed
do.
driven and
It is greedy.
stupidity driven.
Yeah. Okay. I will keep that in mind. All right. So
Don't offend them.
it is good to hear that there are a bunch of horror movies upcoming because it's very important to keep horror movies upcoming.
Oh my
Are
God.
there any of
Are you
those? You kind of
struggling a
boxed
little
me in with
with
this list.
that
You really boxed me in with this
I
list.
finished with a sequel. You could have just asked about sequels.
I could have, you're right.
To which I could have said yes, because this week's upcoming horror movie is Deep Blue Sea 3.
No!
Yes.
After that god-awful Deep Blue Sea remake,
Fuck
they made
yeah.
a third one?
Damn right they did.
Wow. I mean, it
Okay.
does end with a bunch of piranha sharks escaping, so.
Well, no, they're just baby sharks.
Yeah, but they act like piranhas.
They're baby sharks.
All right, keep
Do,
going.
do, 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 do. Okay. Dr. Emma Collins and her team are spending their third summer on the island of Little Happy, studying the effects of climate change on the great white sharks who come to the nearby nursery every year to give birth.
Oh, nice.
Along with the last two inhabitants of this former fishing village, their peaceful life is disturbed or disrupted, sorry, when a quote-unquote scientific team led by her ex-boyfriend and marine biologist Richard show up looking for three bull sharks who we soon learn aren't just any bull sharks.
Yay.
Could they be the escaped sharks from Deep Blue Sea 2?
Two, perhaps.
I'm gonna say yes.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, almost certainly, in fact.
Or wait, did any of the sharks escape from that terrible movie we watched with Dean Cain? No, I'm
No,
thinking
not
of a
Dean
different
Cain.
movie. Lorenzo Lamas.
Yeah,
That's
Lorenzo Lamas.
the
I know they blew up the last of the sharks. They
one.
had a
Male
whole
died.
shark dog fight with the last shark in their escape
Okay.
craft.
Oh, that would have been great if we had a little crossover
Oh, that
happening.
would have been great. Deep Blue Sea people hunting the Lorenzo Lamas super sharks. Yeah, no, Dean Cain was in the Outland remake that we
Yes, he
watched the
was.
same week.
I'm, yeah,
Yes.
I apologize.
All right, well, I'm there for that. I was there for two. You're sure as hell. We may have given up on multi-headed shark movies. Like, we
I
gave up
don't
on
know if we
that.
have. I think how many shark heads could you possibly grow on one shark body?
Well, they're up to
Six?
six.
I think that's the limit, honestly.
So you're saying they're going to stop doing them and we should finally do a an in-depth show looking at three through six headed sharks?
Well, I've already seen two, five, and six.
Oh my God.
You
I
know
can't
this.
believe you keep watching these movies. Like, I know that, but like, wow.
Watched five and six like back to back.
That part is kind of amazing,
Because, of
actually.
course, I would.
Yes, that is the most you thing I can almost imagine. Ah, that five-headed shark was pretty impressive. I wonder how the
What they can do with
six-headed shark matches up. Wait, did Dolph Lundgren battle a lake shark in a movie?
there is a movie called Shark Lake.
Yeah, and I feel like he was a smuggler. He wanted to get his daughter back, and there was a shark in the
We did?
lake.
Yes. Was that Shark
That might
Lake?
have been Shark Lake.
Because we did watch that movie.
Yeah. I was just trying to remember like other preposterous shark movies we've watched.
There are a lot of them.
I do love shark movies. Oh my God. Well, I was about to say, I need to talk about the other shark product, but I'm doing that in Random Crap next week, so you know. I was
What?
about to
No,
like start
I know
talk.
what you're talking about
There's a
right
shark
now.
video game coming out.
Oh,
I'll be
okay.
talking all about it next week, so you can wait patiently for
Right,
that
well,
one.
tune in next week for that exciting conversation.
For now, let's talk about the movies we actually watched this week.
Okay, so we start this week with The Candy Witch. A mom seeks out a medium to help rid her house of the Candy Witch, a malevolent spirit out for revenge.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay. Here's the thing. This is basically just another Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Spoiler alert. And I'm a little uncomfortable about making a movie about a vengeful witch, where the message of the movie is, if a child tells you they're being molested, don't believe them.
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that.
A little, yeah.
Because this is, oh, we're going to completely ruin the movie now, right at the start. We're completely ruining the movie. So, the mother is physically abusing her children.
Whipping them to the point that they have giant monstrous gashes all over their bodies.
And then they have a nanny or governess.
Yeah.
And the nanny is going to tell everyone that the mother is abusing the children. So the mother then turns around and accuses the nanny of having a sexual relationship.
No. She accuses the nanny of the abuse, but she honestly believes the son's claims about a sexual relationship.
Does she?
Yeah, she does. Right until the end, right until she, spoiler alert, gets killed, she's still under the impression that she was doing the right thing by murdering the person who molested her son.
I thought the mother knew that the son...
No. They only find that
it's
out.
So anyway, it's really complicated.
Convoluted. Yeah, it is.
Convoluted. And, yeah, this mother is a monster because she was abusing her children.
Yes. Horribly. And the son was sexually obsessed with the nanny.
Yes. And the nanny turned him down. Yes. And then the son told the mother that the nanny had
molested him. Right. And so she murders the nanny.
So she murders the nanny, and now she's back for revenge.
Yeah, back from revenge from beyond the grave. Although, I gotta say,
now
so much. I know, right?
I always kind of wonder about the timing of these things. Because she was abusing her children when they were I can't understand how long ago this abuse took place. Because the son is old enough to have intense sexual feelings towards the nanny.
He specifically says that he was molested when he was 15. But he says that in the movie.
But then how, I don't understand how the mother can get away with abusing a 15-year-old like that.
Yeah, horribly. Well, I think she was abusing him his whole life.
But why do they have a nanny at 15?
Doesn't make a lick of sense. Also, here's the even crazier part. He's 15, his sister's 13, they still have a nanny somehow.
Well, this is what I'm driving at. And when this movie begins, they're home from university. So it's only like 4 or 5 years have passed.
Maybe 6 years. But yeah, like they were already almost age of majority when
the movie makes it seem like they were really young children.
Yeah. And then he drops the bomb that he was 15 when he was molested.
So
that's 5 years ago.
It does, because if they were super young when the mother was abusing them, and then she just stopped doing it, and then found an excuse to start to blame the nanny for, there's a timing issue here with the...
There's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, with the abuse.
Well, beyond that, though, like, the witch, before she was a witch, the maid's actions make no
nanny.
Sense to me.
She's not nanny. A maid.
Sorry, you're right.
Her name's Jennifer. Let's call her Jennifer.
Jennifer. Her actions make no sense to me either, because... So she finds out the mother is brutalizing these children to, again, the point where they have, like, do you know the kind of medical treatment? Well, of course you do. Like, the kind of medical treatment you need when you have a wound big enough to leave a 2-inch wide scar on your back?
Yeah.
Like, that means your back was just open.
Yeah.
And the thing is, so she's going to tell people the mother did it in the investigation. So the mother starts saying she did it and ruining her reputation around town. And my question is, at that point, maybe just leave, you know?
Well, Jennifer goes into town to visit a friend of hers asking for help because she's, you know, has this detente with the mother.
Yeah.
And the friend listens to her, but then is like, no, you have to go back up there.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why wouldn't she go to the police? Are these people that powerful in this small town?
Maybe.
Because it's never established sort of like who they are. First of all, they're American.
Yep. It's a whole family of Americans living in Surrey.
So it's like, it's a family home and a family property.
An ancestral home, we're told.
You know, so I'm guessing, okay, so the family goes back a long time. But I don't understand, like, why they would still have some kind of power sway over the townspeople that the nanny can't just go to the police with their allegations of abuse and they would investigate.
And, you know, notice these giant frigging welts. And if you know the mother has framed you for all of this, I'm just saying, like, leave town. It's fine. The idea that she would continue working for this family.
Yeah.
Like, why is she going to continue working with this family when the mother has sent it around town that she's been abusing the children?
Well, I think by that point, I think she goes back. I think she probably gets killed the same night she goes back.
Maybe.
And then she's disappeared. And then the mother starts this rumor that she is a serial child molester.
Yeah.
And then that rumor gains traction. And just in the way that these stories do, it evolves into something else wherein she kidnaps children and eats them. And now she's a horrible witch. And
I feel like this is all, since this all happened 5 years ago, that's not long enough for those kind of rumors to have built up.
Well, this is part of the problem with the movie. These kids are, like, that kind of abuse should have happened when they were really little, when they're too afraid to tell the truth that their mom is beating them. Mm-hmm. But then that doesn't track with this whole weird sexual story with the son.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just need to excise that weird element.
Sexual story. Yeah, like,
from the script,
make it so the mother,
and everything's fine.
Make it so the mother, like, killed the nanny to keep her from telling on her about her monstrous child abuse.
Exactly.
This extra level of lying about child molestation, like you say, it makes it so the kids have to be way too old, it breaks the plot line, mm-hmm. and it doesn't go anywhere useful.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you take that out and you make it, this is all stuff that happened when the kids were like 5 and 3, and then the candy lady who was abusing the kids mysteriously ran off, and now I guess she died somewhere. And by the way, this mother is quite a dumbass, because everyone knows you have to burn the bones of the person you killed to make their ghost go away.
Okay, so, like, here's the thing.
Google could have told her about that.
Well, this is all just, it's straight out of Supernatural. This is an episode of Supernatural.
Oh, totally.
Which is fine, because I love Supernatural.
It's a fun show.
So I'm happy to watch.
We'll talk more about that in a minute, actually.
Episode of Supernatural. But I have to wonder, like, we haven't talked at all about the medium.
Oh, yeah. I like that we haven't once mentioned the main character of the movie.
I gotta wonder what this movie would be like if it were found footage.
Better?
Because this guy is, like,
filming everything all the time.
Yeah, and he doesn't have, like, his own TV show or anything like that. He exists sort of in the online space.
Yeah.
You know, he's got, like, a YouTube channel or what have you. But he's very well known, I assume respected. He has a gazillion followers, which comes up later in the film, and it's really weird how that gets worked in.
Yeah.
But you never actually see them film anything.
No, they never have the cameras out, and they should be.
And they should be, because everything you do is for this show that you produce.
And the brand, yeah. Especially because later in the movie, we'll actually show that it's like, oh, they've been live streaming this whole thing. And
except
people are really loving the live stream. And I'm like, but you weren't holding up your camera or filming anything.
Your phone is in your pocket, so you're live streaming your pocket.
Well, and the audio, to be fair. And these 5,000 people can't get enough of the audio of an exorcism.
So that sounds, I think if this were a found footage movie, it would work. And again, if you excise the whole child molestation subplot, this would be a much better movie.
Also, like, you can't, I know you need more. It's funny because it's like, you start the movie, there's a woman, there's a candy witch. And you're like, oh, I wonder what kind of a movie this is going to be. Is it slow burn? Is it so-and-so? Then you introduce the medium on another job. And then the next thing that happens is, oh, a woman's face gets burned off in boiling chocolate.
Yeah.
And the crazy part is, we've never seen this woman before.
We don't know what her relationship is to the candy witch.
Yeah, it's like a really, I know you need an extra dead body, but you had to do a scene with the mother who was scared by the candy witch talking to her best friend, the black lady next door, about the situation, and the black lady next door comforting her and saying, don't worry, like, I'm sure it's all in your head, blah, 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 blah. And then that night, the black lady gets her face burned off, boiled off by boiling chocolate. Mm-hmm. That would have made sense. But because you can't just have this murder happen.
Yeah, because the other person who dies, well, she shouldn't die from, like, what the candy witch does to her. But essentially, the other victim in this movie is the woman the candy witch or Jennifer went to seek help. And she essentially turned her away. So then, so the candy witch really is
her motive.
Yes. And so candy witch is out for vengeance, but we have no idea what this neighbor lady did to deserve getting drowned in chocolate. Yeah.
No. And the lady, she's clearly saying like, should not have died. She takes like a star that you use to do cookie cutouts.
No, it's a cookie. She takes a cookie cutter.
Yeah. And just takes pieces of skin off her back.
And it is a great effect.
Oh, yeah. It looks fun.
The gore effects in this movie are actually quite good.
Yeah.
And that cookie cutter effect was really gross and really nice well visual. Done.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Really good visual, but like,
that's not
I don't
kill
think
you.
That woman's dead.
No,
like,
that
I
ain't
think she's
kill you.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe she had a weak heart and it, you know.
Gave it. Well, sure. That. Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening, but you're not going to die just from someone shoving cookie cutters into your back.
Into your back. Weirdly sharp cookie cutters. Cookies aren't made out of leather. They don't need to be that sharp.
Well, I mean, some people aren't great bakers.
That's true. You're right. I am massively overestimating.
They need extra sharp cookie cutter.
It's so weird because it's like you got this American family, you got this British medium and his American girlfriend, who's his partner and associate on the blog. Sorry, on the blog, on the YouTube channel. And it's like, and these characters make no impact whatsoever on the story. They're just kind of there to have the backstory explained to them.
Like, yes.
They go and people tell them what happened. It's like, huh, so that's what happened. And then they just, you know, continue and they stand around and they're pretty much bystanders. And then right at the end, they're like, oh, well, we got to go burn that ghost because that's what you do with ghosts.
Yeah. And then he's got his own little subplot with his hearing loss and his father, who was a famous medium who died.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so is this job going, like, put your life in danger? No.
Yeah. That would have been an interesting way to take the story, but they weren't just interested in really developing this story too much. It's just, it's a very awkwardly told story. You're right, it probably would have worked better as found footage. Mm-hmm. And we needed to, you really needed to take away the child molestation and make this have all happened 20 years ago. Long enough for people who have like forgotten and it drifted away a bit and for rumors to have started.
Yeah. And then you need a reason for her to be back now.
Yeah. Also, you need the 19 or 18 or 19 year old daughter to not have a 38 year old boyfriend with a gray beard and no one finds that strange.
No, but my issue with the boyfriend was that he's walking randomly through the woods to get home. First of all, where the fuck is home?
No, he's
you don't
to get
live
to a
in
party.
This random rural town.
I know, he was trying to get to a party.
No,
and
he says, Siri, show me the way home. It's not
you're
Siri.
Right.
It's Alexa or Lexi, Alexa. I guess is what he says. He is trying. I'm like, well, how did you get to that fucking house? To begin with.
It's not home. It's your girlfriend's
house. Why are you
cutting
through the woods? There's a road right there.
Why didn't you drive to this party you want? Yeah, I guess we're supposed to assume he tried to walk to the party, got lost, and is now asking Alexa, Siri, whatever, to tell him which way to go to get back to the house. But you're right. Why is that programmed into his phone as home?
No, he's trying to get to his home.
No, he's not trying to get to his home because But within the plot, he lives nowhere near there, and he only came with her on spring break back to here because there was gonna be a big party in the area. That's specifically why he went home with her on break instead of going home.
No, I just assumed he's like, because some of the writing is a little sloppy, he's just, he didn't go home specifically with her to go to this party. He wants to go to a party. She doesn't really want to go. They have a fight about it. And he's like, well, I'm going to leave now. It's too early in the day to be going to a party. So yeah. When he's wandering through the woods and asks for directions to go home, it's to go back to his house or wherever he's staying.
Which it should be if they hadn't, but you're right. It's just sloppy writing. If they hadn't previously established that he does not live in this area and he went home with her, only went home with her on break, because it was near this party they were going to want
but
to go.
You don't. To. You don't go home to spend your break with your girlfriend's house just to go to one kegger. Like that's just that's
well, no,
not
he's
how
also,
it works.
But I mean, that's the main reason he wanted to go. But he's also a ridiculous buffoon. So you know, I don't know what's in his head. But
and then he gets attacked by the candy, which I guess just because he's in the vicinity of the house.
Yep. Yeah, both the significant others of the kids get murdered by the Candy Witch, just because the Candy Witch is not really, you know,
well, it's
focused
all about the numbers.
On her vengeance.
You just, you know, you need that body count.
You do.
If you're going to have any impact.
That's true of all horror movies, right? The Shining is so great because of just how many people get killed in that movie. Just body dropping after body dropping. It's why the best horror movie ever made is that Friday the 13th, where he killed 22 people.
Well, let's not forget about the Frighteners, where the whole point is to just get a really high
number. The biggest number, big numbers as possible.
I like the Frighteners.
It's a great movie. 100% it's a great movie. All right. So yeah, the Candy Witch, I'm sorry, we can't recommend this. The gore effects are great.
Gore effects
that
are great.
That is literally all it has going for it.
So.
And you can do better with fake Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Oh, that's mean.
How else could you possibly describe this other than
I don't know. Nightmare I want to be really nice to it, but it does have its problems.
It really does. So let's move on to a less problematic film, Driven.
Our second movie tonight, Driven. Emerson is just a ride-hail driver. I think his name is Roger. I meant to look this up.
I could look it up for you.
Roger, let's call him Roger.
Let's call him Roger.
It's just a demon hunter. Together, they might be able to rid the world of demons if they could just get over their shit.
Yeah. I mean, I will always think of him as Loki from Supernatural.
Right? I know, me too. But that's not fair to Richard Spate Jr.
No. He's a perfect, like, he's in plenty of stuff. I just saw him in an episode of Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. He gets plenty of work. But come on. It was great. There was an episode
character.
Of Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Where he and another guy were playing guys who were like trying to find a contract to make their dumb t-shirts in Bangladesh.
Okay.
And it was him. And the two partners were him and the guy who plays God on Supernatural.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
That's hilarious.
Obviously, we know who the casting person is a fan of.
Yeah.
It was a really nice thing to see the two of them together.
Is he Chad? What does he call himself?
Oh,
is he
God,
Chad?
Yeah. What is the name of the guy who's the fake, like when he's a writing, where he thinks he's just a prophet writing books about them, but then it turns out he's God.
Because I think he says, I am the prophet Chad.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, wonderful character. Thumbs up. And he was great on that episode. But anyway, so yes, I was very worried at the start of this movie because about 5 minutes in, I realized we were never going to leave the car.
Oh, I didn't realize that until a little later on. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. We've never left the car.
The car.
I'm like, oh, so, cool idea.
Yeah. And like then I'm like, oh, God, this isn't going to be another. This. I had a moment where I'm like, this isn't going to be another Five Across the Eyes, is it? A movie I'm still mad about a decade later.
Hey, that was your fault. You wanted to watch it.
No, it is completely my fault. I wanted to see what single-take horror looks like. And the answer is, they don't show anything on camera because it would be too hard to do that when you're making a single-take movie.
This isn't
okay.
A single-take movie. It's just set in and
No.
Around.
I know this isn't, but I'm just saying I had flashbacks to Five Across the Eyes, which I shouldn't because this is just a very clever way to keep your expansive Demon Knight-style story with a very low budget.
And harkening back to Supernatural, there's an episode of Supernatural called Baby, and the entire episode is set inside the car.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. Nice.
Oh, it's so good. It's a great episode.
I will have to check that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very daring thing to do, and I'm going to say this movie does it very well.
They pull it off.
Yeah. Like, they do a great job of, like, you're always satisfied. The drama makes sense. It's fun, you know, first and foremost, her story. This is her car. She doesn't want to leave her car, both on a literal and a metaphorical level.
Yes.
So a lot of the character, which we're not going to get into too much because I want people to see this movie. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to spoil the whole thing like we did Candy Witch.
Well, we might, but we'll just throw up a spoiler
thing at the end. Yeah. But yeah, like it's very well done. Like it's so easy to screw up something like this or cheat, but it's like, yes, the camera will go outside the car for like reverse angle shots of people.
But you're never like outside. You're always touching distance. Like you could reach out with your hand and touch the car. That's as far
even when you're outside looking in at her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's as far as you get from the car.
Yeah. And to the point where it's like when both of them leave the car, we stay in the car watching through the windows.
Yes.
And it's a really nice look.
Yeah, it's good. It's as I said, it's well done. It's a well executed conceit.
Yeah, they really make you feel like you are the passenger in this car while all of this craziness is going on. Mm-hmm. Like really, like on some imaginary level, you are an additional person who was along for this ride share and is now trapped in this madness with them. Is the kind of vibe you get from the story. And no, I mean, I really liked it. It's the kind of story you can tell. When you told me about this in upcoming horror movies ages ago, it was like Collateral, but a horror comedy.
I don't think... It wasn't an upcoming horror movie.
Oh, no, it was just you told me you had
Yeah, we were just talking about it.
Yeah, because you had a screener for it. Right. I forgot. But yeah, like, you had told me about it, and it's like, you're like, it's like Collateral, but a horror comedy. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a great way to sell this movie.
No. But they really pulled it off. I mean, and it's because of these two actors doing such a fantastic job.
Yes.
Being so charming, so likable, so good, as you say, of, you know, failing to deal with all of their shit.
Yeah.
Like, both of them have real huge emotional problems.
Well, they got a lot of baggage for different reasons. And at one point, of course, there's a moment where it just sort of explodes and they take it out on each other.
Yeah. And I mean, it's great because, I mean, you can see the structure in it, but it still works because it was all building to that.
Yes.
And the stakes are made really clear early on. And the incident they do to get into this fight and turn on one another makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Like, that is the exact kind of thing. Like, there's never any contrived drama in this. Mm. Like, and what I love about it is, so it's a woman
even
who
the
discovers.
Part where they get to the point with the farrier, even that I thought was well done.
It was.
Yeah.
Such a good scene. And I'm like, oh, what's going to happen here? Is this going to go someplace obvious and cliched? And it doesn't at all. It really doesn't at all. It becomes a super honest conversation with the farrier.
Yeah.
Such a nice choice.
Yeah.
And the best part is, the thing I loved about it is this is like, that's how the whole movie feels. Every part of it is just like honest and straightforward and based on real emotions and, you know, realistic concerns. Even though they're dealing, like, she's in the car with a obscenely wealthy demon hunter. It still manages to be weirdly. I know, he's just got it. He's like, here's the thing. If this all goes well, you can have a giant bag of cash.
And then he leaves her a scathing review because they have a fight. And I thought that was really funny.
It was.
When they have their sort of reconciliation, he's like, I got to be honest with you. Yeah. I left you a terrible review.
I know. Such a good scene. I feel a little story for these filmmakers, though. And I'll tell you why. So they obviously had this idea, you know, X amount of time ago, and they made their movie, and like they did a really good job of making the movie. No complaints. But they unfortunately have their movie coming out about 6 months after a film with essentially the exact same plot that was a giant budget studio movie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
A little movie called Stuber.
Right.
With Kumail Nanjiani and, oh God, who plays Drax?
Drax.
From Guardians of the Galaxy, you know.
Oh, I was thinking Xander Drax.
Well, no, I know Treat Williams plays Xander Drax.
With an X.
An X. No. Drax from who's the, you know, the big wrestler looking guy?
Now I can't remember.
Dave Bautista.
Oh my god, because I'm like, it's not Randy Couture because I was talking about him recently and his weird cauliflower ear.
Him and Dave Bautista, and essentially it's literal, basically Dave Bautista. It's not close to real time or even as tight as this is, but it's all set in a single afternoon and evening. And Dave Bautista plays a guy who has X amount of hours to keep a drug dealer who murdered his partner the year previously from escaping the town and stopping his new drug deal. But he just had eye surgery and he can't drive, so he is forced to get an Uber to drive him around. And then they have, like, beat for beat the exact same story this has.
Oh, shit. That's a bummer.
It is. I mean, it is a bummer for these people. And I mean, it's not like one ripped the other off, because logically, if you're doing a thing where a rogue cop or a bounty hunter or a demon hunter has to partner up with an Uber driver, there's a logical way the story is going to play out. But even like a lot of the details of the Uber, like the cop versus demon hunter are completely different characters, but a lot of the stuff about the main character here, the what is it called, fairy driver,
yes, the fairy is
what they call their fake Uber, whereas Stuber licensed the Uber. Well, I mean, it was partially paid for by Uber, I'm sure, but anyway, like, but that one, even the same narrative that both of them are people after a kind of bad relationship situation who are hiding from the world and their cars and aren't willing to take the steps they need to, like, get the things they want out of life. Like, the specific character arc the main character goes through is pretty much exactly the same.
Oh, no!
Right down to the farrier scene having a really close analog in the movie
Stuber.
Really?
Oh, wow. I know.
Like, it's weird how similar these movies
Shit.
Are.
That's, and the thing is, weird.
They're both good movies. Like, this is better than Stuber. Stuber's just okay. It's very broad and a lot of the jokes don't land. But, you know, it's a big Hollywood comedy, so it has to be very middle of the road and very generic to not offend anybody. Make sure to hit as many quadrants as possible. Whereas this one is free to be, you know, more grounded and personal and fun and real.
Yeah.
In a way that Stuber just isn't.
Yeah.
And of course, it does a lot of big action because it's a big Hollywood movie and does not have the wonderful self-limitation of, really, the car is the main character.
Her sister's car. It's not her car.
You're right. It's not even her car. It's her sister's car that she's borrowing because she needs to make some extra money. Oh, it's so good.
I will say this. The music is a little overpowering in the film.
Yeah. That's true.
Because it's just, it's always present. And it's like, when you start really noticing it all the time.
Yeah.
It stops becoming an enhancement and is a little bit more of a hindrance. It's, well,
especially, it kind of really bothers me because they could have done something so clever with making all of the film's music becoming through the radio since you never leave the car.
Well, because he insists on not having the radio on.
I know, but you could change that.
So that, I know, exactly. So if he would have been like, yeah, okay, whatever, then yeah, that would have been really interesting and a lot of fun. And then obviously, just because you're indie, you would have had the opportunity to just open that up to a lot of indie music producers indie musicians and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, that could have been a ton of fun. And I think that would have been a smarter way to do it than go with the score they went with.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. What else was I going to say? Oh, that having been said, yes, I absolutely loved how just like matter of factly they treated Emerson's sexuality.
Yep. Never addressed
loved
really at all.
That just so.
Why? Because it's
normal.
2020. Why would it be worth even mentioning?
Exactly. I love it. Yeah. I just love it so much.
Yeah. No, she's gay. It's fine.
She's bi.
What is that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's like, that's the thing. Like, it's not, it's just an aspect of her character.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just can't stress enough, such great character work. He is, you know, Loki, Roger, whatever his name is, such a good Richard Specht. Spiked? However you pronounce
it. I say Spate.
Spate. Oh, okay, it's probably.
But
I
might be
right.
Wrong. That's just how I pronounce it.
Richard Spate, so funny as he, And the smartest thing the film does, we all know what movie we're here to see, okay? We don't need 20 minutes of him trying to convince her that demons are real. Like, we don't need that to drag on and them to be in conflict with each other.
And it,
on
yeah.
and on and on.
And it doesn't
the way
happen.
Some movies would do. It doesn't. It zips right through it. It's like, she realizes something shady's going on. She's afraid of him and tries to get rid of him. Then something happens to make her realize that demons are real. And from the rest, for the rest of the movie, we are off and running.
Yeah.
So yeah. smart. It trusts the audience. Like, such a good choice, and it made me respect the movie all the more, because
yeah.
so many movies like this waste so much time getting to their premise.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have to, oh no, we have to convince ourselves that the premise is worth doing. It's like, we're all here to see a horror
exactly
movie.
We bought a ticket for this. You yes. have better things to do with your time than convince the main character, i.e. us, that this is a fight worth having. Like,
I know.
We get it. There are demons. Let's deal with this.
I will always remember Dan Harmon's wonderful comment about A Most Violent Year. And it's like, the story of a man who spends 2 hours trying to avoid taking part in his own plot. Spoiler alert, he succeeds.
Like, oh my god.
It's a whole movie about a guy trying to keep out of a mob war.
Oh my god.
It's like, keep a lid on things. And it's like, yeah, that's not what we're in the theater to see, guys.
Right?
But it's, I mean, I feel like the need for so many movies to have these really extended first acts where they keep refusing the call to adventure over and over again
yeah.
is why so many friggin' movies are 2.5 hours long. Like,
it
cut down that first act.
It's weird. So does, like, this is going to sort of be a weird parallel or analog, but it yeah. reminds me a lot of horror criticism.
Okay.
And there was, like, in the late 90s, in the early 2000s, there was this notion that you had to justify why you were writing about horror, like within an academic setting, in an academic context.
Okay.
And it didn't, there was a time where you didn't have to do that, but for whatever reason, it's sort of like, it happened again where people felt the need that they had to waste a bunch of space in their
justifying it.
Essays or what have you, in their papers to justify what was going to come next.
So weird.
Which is really weird. It's like, I feel like they sort of moved past that, but whatever. Carol Clover spent fucking chapters on this shit, so I guess we all have to emulate her. God, apparently I have
such
a problem
with
Carol
Clover.
Such
a great drive-by. Way to go.
I know. Yeah. And then, so then like in the later 2000s, I came across this paper. And again, the author spent this whole section arguing why this was.
This is why horror movies are so important in a sociological context. Here's 3 pages of subtitles. Oh my God. Of footnotes. Explaining to you all of the important people who've already talked about horror movies.
And why
thus justifying why it's worth even talking about today.
No, it's like, we have moved past that. We don't need this. Get no. to the fucking point already. And then I was really dismayed that it was a paper about Nightmare on Elm Street and about Nancy and Final Girl okay. Theory. And it's like, oh, wow, you don't know what you're talking about. And your advisor for this paper has never read Misfit Sisters. So I can, in God's conscious, continue reading your analysis oh. of Nancy. So,
damn.
But it's just, it's so aggravating. So well, you don't need it in horror criticism. You don't need to justify why you're writing about horror movies. And we yeah. don't need it in horror movies. We don't need to justify nope. why we're engaging with the horror plot.
Just get us there as quickly as possible. I'll give you 5 minutes to let me meet all the main characters. Now can we please start the movie?
Exactly.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and that's, by the way, this film, the timing on this is so great. Because we get the opening montage, just like in the movie Stuber, of what it's like being a an Uber driver and all the weird customers.
I
blah,
wasn't
blah, blah,
sure
blah.
What's going on at first, though, because she's like talking. And I'm like,
yeah.
is she talking to herself? And then it was like, oh, I see
she's
what's
practicing
going on.
Her act.
Practicing
yeah.
her act. Okay. Yeah. Because at first, when she first just starts talking and she's like, you know, with her one-liners and funny observations, it's like...
You think you just, oh, she's narrating this movie. Nope.
Or it's like, but at first you can't tell that there's no one in the car.
Right.
And it's a few minutes later, you're like, oh, she's not talking to anybody.
No.
And then you realize that she's practicing an act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And then you get, and this is, and I loved their relationship through the whole movie, and I knew I loved their relationship. When she's like, when he's like, what do you do? He's like, well, I'm a comedian. And he's like, really? And he's like, well, yeah. And then his response, and then she's a little self-conscious. She's like, no, I'm sure you're funny in other contexts.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a good line. Like, I'm like, from that moment on, I'm like, oh, I'm on board for these two. These two are great together.
Yeah. No, the comedy is good. I felt like the, for lack of a better term, joke. Just didn't it sort of played itself out.
Yeah, I could see that.
But for the most part, the comedy is pretty spot on.
Oh no, absolutely. I had a great time, and I can't recommend this movie strongly enough. It's just such a fun ride. It's only 90 minutes. You get in, you have a great time, you get back out. You'll love this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't guarantee you're gonna have the best time of your life watching this movie or anything crazy like that, but again. Yeah, it's the same movie as Stuber was, but it's a better movie. It's funnier. You know, it's more inventive. It's more interesting. And I 100% would recommend anybody check this out. And is there anything spoilery from the end you wanted to talk about? Because we can do a little bit of that now.
Okay. It sounds like you want to say something.
No. I can, you know what? I was going to, but I just realized that what I have to talk about, it's such a nitpicky thing. I'm just gonna not risk it. Okay. And people watch the movie. You'll have a great time.
We picked enough nits with Candy Witch, so
that's true. Let's just let people have a great time with Driven.
Yeah.
Which y'all really need to see. Driven, check it out.
Yeah.
Okay. So beyond that, do we have any narcissism we need to watch?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, for me, nothing big. Still another week without that game being released, so I'm looking more and more like a liar who wasn't actually in a video game.
Right.
Every week. Kind of making me look like a bit of a doof. Keep telling people to look forward to this game, and it's been a month.
I know, it reminds me of the time when we were telling people to look forward to our own video game.
Yep, well, that's still in process, so...
So you can't really give this guy too much shit.
Oh, because... no, he's not the problem, absolutely. I'm the problem for announcing it too early. That's 100% on me. Puppet Combo has done the smart thing, and he said, you'll hear more about it when it's almost done.
There you go.
And that's absolutely... I'm the one who jumped the gun. This is not Puppet Combo's fault. All right, so yes, but that's coming eventually. And of course, constant flow of new content at Hidden Object Guru YouTube channel and the Criminal Minds, Profiling Criminal Minds podcast, where in addition to the regular show every Thursday, we now do a Sunday show where we make recommendations for stuff you should be watching in quarantine. So,
okay.
Yeah, join in for that. It's a lot of fun. All right. So I guess that's that. Is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can listen to old episodes up there. You can leave us a comment and tell us all about how much you love movies that are set inside cars. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you're listening on an app, be sure to rate and review, and hell, subscribe.
Yeah, do that too. If anything, you know, it's going to make your life better. I can't say how.
But it will.
I can't, you know...
demonstrably better.
No, like I can't clearly make
it obvious to everyone that your life has significantly improved.
Improved. There you go.
In an inevitable way.
I am 100% on board with her crazy lies. All right. So as always, I just want to say thank you for watching, and until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
We'll see you back here next time. Until then, au revoir. That's have a great evening.
How we end the show. Good
night. Oh my God. That's me. Have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.
Oh, that was embarrassing.